Hi, welcome to Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we have Alex Lido. He's the CEO of Efficient Power Conversion. They're specialists in gallium nitride, MOSFETs, and power devices. And we're going to talk a little bit about gallium nitride, other exotic materials, and what exactly it means for the design engineer. So hi, Alex. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks very much, Alex. Good to have you back.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. I couldn't deal with being out of the editorial space anyway, and I love the engineering field, so this works out beautifully for me. But I'm glad to have you aboard, because I know there are a lot of people out there who are currently working with advanced materials, and there are people who know what's going on with GaN, but there are a lot of people who don't. So let's just start with a little bit of the basics. Now, can we put GaN and silicon carbide and the other exotics in the same boat, or are there specific pluses and minuses to them?
Well, first of all, I think you can say GaN and silicon carbide are both contenders for the throne that's been held by silicon for about 60 years now. And they have both different strengths and weaknesses and some similar strengths. So I think it's a good idea to compare and contrast them against each other and against silicon. But there are really no other materials that you might term exotic that are in that position to really, on a wide, broad scale, display silicon.
So now, the primary has to do with electromobility or heat resistance or performance.
There are a few basic characteristics that silicon carbide and gallium nitride both have that are superior to silicon. Now, silicon for 60 years has been ruler of the roost. Cost structure very low. Performance getting better and better with time. Moore's law. Enormous infrastructure. But silicon carbide and gallium nitride both have a crystal property that is tremendously superior to silicon, and that's something called the critical electric field. They can withstand more voltage across a smaller distance. And what that means is that you can make features, particularly if you're going to higher voltages, you can make features much, much smaller. Now, between gallium nitride and silicon carbide, there is an additional advantage, and that is that gallium nitride has a higher electron mobility than silicon carbide. So electrons can move around with less resistance in the crystal structure. So if you compare the various devices, you could say, well, theoretically, gallium nitride has the highest possible, the highest performance out there possible for a semiconductor that is known today, followed by silicon carbide, and both of them are several orders of magnitude superior, theoretically, than silicon. So then we get to the practical, and practically, what can you achieve? And I think that's where you have to look at the tremendous infrastructure of silicon, because silicon is very low cost for its performance. And gallium nitride and silicon carbide are relatively new materials, so they haven't achieved their theoretical performance capabilities like silicon has.
Right. Well, you could almost make a comparison to LCD technologies and the other advanced display technologies, because you could literally come out with a perfect display technology, but LCD has got such an ingrained, massive, mature supply chain and infrastructure, you've got to not only beat them on the performance side, you've got to beat them on the supply chain side.
Exactly, and that's exactly the comparison. And I think throughout history there are several of those where there's an entrenched technology, and what does it take to rout it out? And it takes something, I think, as dramatic as the performance advantages that are enabled by silicon carbide and gallium nitride, particularly in the power industry.
Now,
here's where that comes in, and gallium nitride as a crystal is very expensive. Silicon carbide as a crystal is very expensive. And therefore, they start off, if you will, a little bit wrong-footed against the very economical silicon. But gallium nitride has the advantage that you can grow a very thin layer called an epitaxial layer on top of a standard piece of silicon, and it has all the performance capabilities of a complete crystal of gallium nitride.
There you go. Well, also, silicon carbide sublimates. That has to be made out of in a gaseous matrix. You can't even grow it in the standard vat.
Yeah, it's very, very expensive to grow a crystal of silicon carbide, and it's extraordinarily expensive to work with that crystal. It requires extremely high temperatures, whereas gallium nitride, as a thin layer on top of silicon, can be processed side by side in a standard silicon foundry. EPC builds all our wafers in Taiwan in an excellent foundry called Epicel. It is side by side with silicon wafers, so we have the same cost structure as silicon, and we don't have to put in the capital investment that you would have to do for a displacement technology.
There you go. Now, having said all of that, I'm sitting and I'm looking at my bench, and I've got multiple parts on the bench, and some are silicon carbide parts, some are silicon parts, some are gallium nitride parts. From the designer's point of view, where am I going to get my biggest bang for the buck? Where am I going to see these gains and make it cost-effective to apply these technologies?
So gallium nitride has the advantage of it's already about 10x better than the best silicon power MOSFETs. And so you can get better efficiency from a gallium nitride device than you can for a power MOSFET in any circumstance. That's true. And we've demonstrated. We published a book on the subject called GaN Transistors for Efficient Power Conversion. But so you can always get better performance from GaN, and we've demonstrated it. Now, gallium nitride devices are only available from EPC widely, from Efficient Power Conversion, that's our company, and we only produce them now for 200 volts and under. So if you're using power MOSFETs 200 volts and under, you can improve your efficiency with gallium nitride. But our parts are not always cheaper than power MOSFETs. So the real benefit to the user is in those areas where efficiency is very important, and you can always do better with gallium nitride. And we have all of the examples of all the topologies, either in our book or in the papers we've written. So now it's just a matter of getting the cost down. And that we believe that in the next 3 to 4 years, we will actually be able to bring the cost of a gallium nitride transistor for the same performance to be lower than that of a MOSFET.
Well, there you go, because that'll be the big enabler for market penetration, obviously.
Exactly, and then it'll be massively used. And in the meantime, we've had some very fundamental applications that are going gangbusters with gallium nitride because they really need this performance. And examples are RF envelope tracking, wireless power transmission, high current, very short pulse width lasers like you have in LIDAR, like in those unguided vehicles or unmanned guided vehicles, autonomous vehicles is what I'm looking for, and also in radiation environments because our GaN devices are very radiation tolerant.
Oh, that's also a very good point. That's to be able to have that resiliency in a questionable environment. Let's put it that way. But actually, you've famously said in the past that people will adopt any improvement as long as it's free. So the cost structure is a big factor, I imagine.
It is. And when we founded EPC 5 years ago, it was based on two principles. One is that we could make GaN cheaper than silicon. And I believe it'll take us another 3 to 4 years, and we will be there. The second one was that we could make gallium nitride transistors enhancement mode. That means normally off.
Right.
When there is no signal on the gate, the device does not conduct current. And that is very important for a power device because you don't want to turn on your on switch and have a short circuit.
Exactly.
And so we invented a way of very efficiently getting enhancement mode devices, and we are the only ones out there with those. So that's, if you will, our secret sauce. We can deliver today widely through DigiKey to anybody in the world enhancement mode gallium nitride transistors that work just like a MOSFET, except you get much higher performance.
What about the RDS-on?
Well, the RDS-on is however much you want to buy. We have very, very low RDS-on parts because gallium nitride has more efficient electron conduction. And you can get smaller devices. And all of the devices will outperform a MOSFET for the same on resistance by a wide margin.
So at this point, it's a cost issue, but downstream it'll become less and less.
Right. Exactly. And, EPC has these parts widely available through DigiKey. You can just go right online and buy them and get them tomorrow.
Excellent. Now, these other reference materials you had mentioned, they're available on your website, right?
Yes. Excellent. Everything we have. Our book is available on our website. We have hundreds of technical documents showing people how to use them, how to assemble them, and almost anything you want to know. We have videos for all of them as well.
Well, there you go. Could you give us the website just to make sure that the audience has got the info?
All right. It's www.epc-co.com.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, hey, Alex, is there anything else you'd like to leave our audience with before we close out this episode?
I think that we will see gallium nitride be a broad displacement for silicon at 600 volts and lower. I think I started off this journey 5 years ago not knowing if that'd be the case, but now I think we've demonstrated enough to say it will be the case. I think that above 600 volts are still a question. Is it going to be gallium nitride or silicon carbide? And for a variety of reasons, including the fact that the electron advantage that gallium nitride has is effectively neutralized as you go to higher and higher voltages. So the world of gallium nitride and silicon carbide will coexist, and I think that they will coexist with silicon for the foreseeable future, but eventually silicon's light will dim.
That's an interesting perspective, but you're right, because if it's going to have the better performance and as the price comes down, it is going to force out other devices.
You got to make something better for less.
There you go. Well, you've managed to do it in the past. I don't see any problems with you doing it in the future.
I wish we didn't have any problems doing it in the future, but I think that we will succeed, Alex, and I think that it's going to be pretty quick here, next few years.
Excellent. Well, hey, Alex, thank you very much. I always enjoy chatting with you, and we'll definitely drag you back to the show in a few months so we can talk a little bit more about it and how it's progressing.
All right. It's always a pleasure, Alex.
Oh, pleasure's mine. And I'd also like to thank everyone else out there for taking the time to listen to us. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power from Power Systems Design. Have a great day, everybody. Bye.